This is what he wrote. Today, let's talk about the baptism of Jesus and what it means. A good place to start is this gospel reading. If you recall, we heard the first part of this story a few weeks ago during Advent. John the Baptist was at the Jordan River, the place where the Israelites had crossed over into the Promised Land. He preached repentance and judgment about an axe lying at the root of the tree, of useless chaff and unquenchable fire. And at that time, John told the people what to do to live out their repentance. Then into the story comes Jesus and his baptism. Be reminded here that as Episcopalian Christians, our understanding of baptism in general and our understanding of the meaning of our own individual baptisms comes from Jesus' example, from what happened as he came up out of the water, from what happened after his baptism, and because of it. What's interesting here is that when Jesus was baptized, no one told him what to do during his baptism or afterward. John the Baptist didn't. Even when John was truly delighted to tell everybody else, including King Herod, exactly what to do. But he didn't tell Jesus, and God the Father didn't tell Jesus what to do either. Notice that. The Father doesn't tell Jesus what to do when he comes up out of the water, but he tells Jesus who he is. He announces Jesus' identity. You are my son, the beloved. God names his son, but doesn't give him marching orders or instructions on what to do next, or how he should appear to others, or a mission scope, or a timeline. Jesus had to work things out for himself. Were there others who tried to tell Jesus what to do or tried to influence his journey? Absolutely. The world at that time was full of options and expectations about who the Messiah was supposed to be and what he was supposed to do. In fact, our world is still that way. Many of these expectations are still with us. Many folks still pretending that Jesus chose something else other than what he actually did. But back to that later. When Jesus came up out of the water and was named the beloved of the Father, he could have looked at many people or things to sort out his mission. First of all, he could have looked up through the waters of the Jordan, seen John the Baptist, and stopped right there. Question answered. Jesus could have become an ascetic, ignoring the pleasures of his time, preaching rigorous moralism, wearing weird clothes, eating bugs, and promising that if you were up to no good, God was going to get you. A lot of people thought that's who the Messiah should have been. Or Jesus could have read the news, absorbed the headlines, become an anti-Roman agitator, and hung out with zealots and nationalist assassins. He could have organized an army and instigated revolts and uprisings to defeat the Roman occupiers and restore God's people to their rightful heritage. Many, including Jesus' disciples, thought that the Messiah would promise and deliver military victory, economic prosperity, independence from Rome. Jesus could have chosen that identity for himself. Or Jesus could have chosen the example of King David or King Solomon and presented himself as a stellar politician, fierce soldier, international diplomat. Many thought the Messiah was supposed to bring those good old days back. He also could have turned to prophets like Haggai and created himself as one who would make Israel ritually pure, cleansed of foreign influences, as perfect as the temple and its sacrifices, a new leader that would make his people worship and study righteously and correctly. So as you can see, there are many options Jesus could have chosen in branding himself and his life's work, in reconciling his people, in dying the death that would restore the world to God. And as mentioned earlier, many of these options are still whispering to us today. There are many who want or behave as though Jesus and his church are all and only about preaching morality, enacting social reform, cultivating personal prosperity, restoring national greatness, getting back to the good old days, creating the perfect, pure, and isolated community as homogeneous as it is holy, or just hanging out until God brings the whole shebang down with a big explosion. But these understandings of who the Messiah should have been and who he was really meant to be are just temptations. And they're temptations that Jesus soundly rejected. We know he rejected them in the wilderness just days after he was baptized. We can see that he already knew who he wasn't going to be early in the game. After rejecting what the world wanted him to be, Jesus found the expression he wanted for himself by embracing an image of the Messiah offered by a fairly ignored and generally overlooked part of the Hebrew Scriptures. In the Old Testament, he looked to a description that most people in his time never would have thought about as an image of a Messiah. Jesus found himself in the servant songs of the prophet Isaiah, a grouping of four powerful and perplexing poems. God's chosen one is portrayed here as a servant, meek, gentle, patient, burdened with pain. A servant who somehow mysteriously through his obedient suffering redeems not only Israel, but all of humanity. In these passages, the servant of God, the beloved, fulfills none of the popular expectations of a Messiah, which we know led to his general rejection by his own people. Instead, Jesus embraced a faithful obedience that led only through great affliction to his justification and the victory of God. It was Isaiah's poems and the vision behind them and nothing else that Jesus chose as his own. This, he decided, was what it would look like for him to live out his ministry and mission, for him to live out his identity as the beloved of God. And for anyone who follows Jesus, while there are still many options today for us as baptized people to choose how we live as God's beloved, there's only one that gives or provides an example in which God is well pleased. Wrapping this up, be aware that today is one of the four Sundays each year when the church calls us to reflect on our own baptism and baptismal calling. We are to remember that we too are the beloved of God, and that we too must live this day out, and the next, as Christians confronting the challenging secular and religious voices of our own place and time. Jesus chose the image of the suffering servant, the one who gives up everything for the sake of faithful obedience to God's word. And we, well, we choose to follow Jesus. Amen. Please rise for the Apostles' Creed.